Perfection is unknown in absolute. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing and University of Philosophy here in Campo, California. Perfection is unknown in absolute. Now we think surely in absolute perfection would be the ultimate. It would be the absolute awareness of things. And that seems to be the most logical thing in the world. Where are you going to find perfection? And people would say, certainly not here on earth, not here in this everyday life that we're living, we don't find perfection. But in absolute, you would find it, everyone would think. But there's nothing to be perfect or imperfect in absolute. In absolute, all just is. All exists as an is, and it has no relativity to it. Perfection is a very relative word. And so long as something is perfect, or I live in my ideal perfect spirit, mind, and body, or something like that, then we're dealing with the relative. And of course, so long as we're dealing with our bodies, we're dealing with the relative. Where could we deal with our bodies and deal with absolute? Well, we deal with our bodies and deal with absolute when we say, my body is. When we say, there is not any becoming, it is the ideal. It is the archetypal concept of what I am. My body is the archetypal concept of what I am. It is not becoming perfect, and there's nothing to be perfect in our body. In a perfect body, it is in an ideal body, it has no relative concept to being perfect or imperfect. So, why do people have the thought that perfection and absolute go together? Why do people have the thought that perfection and God go together? That's a heavy one. Why do people have the thought that better be good, better be nicer, telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows when you've been good or bad. Now, where did that ever come from? And then the church says, you better be careful. Jesus is looking over your shoulder, and he's checking out what you're doing. And if you're not doing nice things, Jesus is going to make sure you go right to hell. Now, I don't know where they ever got ideas like that. But they sure like to do that, the traditional church. And the reason is that it gives them an opportunity to manipulate you, to control you on the human level. Now, if the church truly were interested in us going on to the absolute level, into the total awareness, being God, then it would never say things like that. It would only say, you are perfect. You cannot sin because you can do no wrong. And you cannot be right because you can do no right. There is no relativity relative to God. Relative to God. There is no relativity in the divine. There is no relativity in any area. So we go around saying, well, now all is in divine order. That's terrible. That's terrible. If our lives are in divine order, that's it. There's nothing more for them to become. There's nothing more for them to do. There's nothing to grow, to expand, to understand, to become aware, to reveal. There's nothing to do. It's already all there. I tell people, be real careful of your eagerness to be a master. Because in being a master, you will not see like a normal person sees. You will see right through everything to its original archetypal perfection. And as you see right through to the original archetypal perfection, you will not see any expansion of character. You will not see any growth. You will see a person perhaps in broken legs and quadriplegic and whatever, and you will not see him quadriplegic. You will see him in the altogether. He will have everything that belongs to him. he will have his archetypal expression of the body that is his or hers. It will not be something that they can hide. Now, they might chop off their arms and chop off their legs through some silly accident or something like that, you know. Say, that's not chopping it off. Well, it sure is. And then there they are, totally dependent upon society to take care of them. So that's a terrible thing. That's a real terrible thing. They have no ability to help themselves. Now, what if they were blind, too? And what if they couldn't speak? Ooh, they would really be quite something. Now, there are people who are blind. There are people who cannot speak. And there are people who have lost their limbs and people who have lost all of them. And there are people who live in a rather strange world. And because they had lived in a world in which they were all together, not being all together is a rather tragic thing. So think about that. Think about how that would be if you were, you know, missing limbs, if you were missing your sight, missing your hearing, missing your sensitivities, all that good stuff, you know, because now you could be in a terrible fire. And the fire could completely destroy all of your sensitivity so that your body no longer is sensitive to hot and cold. It is no longer like some of these bubble babies who are born who have no immunity to the normal things in life. And any normal childhood disease that they are learning to be immune to, it would kill them. And so they have to be protected and maintained in a bubble. Happily, there's not too many of them. But even that's too many. Perfection is unknown in absolute, because it is. Divine things are all absolute. We use the word divine, we use the word God, we use the word of all these spiritual deity concepts to express what is unchangeable, what is forever the same. Now, one of the biggest words that we use, which gets us in a lot of trouble, is the phrase, I am. And we think we can go around saying, I am this, and I am that, and I am the other thing. And we haven't the vaguest idea what I am means. Now, the I am is our spiritual reality. The I am is our divinity. The I am is our God self. The I am is our allness. Now, when we have the audacity or the sacrilegious words to say, I am sick, I am poor, I am bad, or I am good. This is why Jesus used the phrase, call none good save the divine, save your Father which art in heaven. See, call none good, because they said, oh, good Jesus, you know. Now, why would he say something like that? Because the divinity is the only thing that expresses the allness in its, you don't want to say perfection, in its absolute quality, in its archetypal self, in its undivided, uncomplicated reality, you know. And when we start thinking in that level, then we start thinking in the level of some pretty important things, because it is true we're human. It is true we're living in a human body. It is true we have all these illusions around us. And the reason that we choose to come to this illusionary world of the human world is to see if we can play the game. And the game is to remember who we are and be ourselves and have fun along the way. But do you remember who you are? I tell you who you are, and many people tell you who you are, but you spit in our face. You say, that's not true. I say, you're perfect. You're blind. Can't you see my problems? No, I can't. You want to die? Well, if you want to lay down this physical body, that's okay. You can't die. You cannot die, no matter what you want to do about it. You can lay down this body. You can take off this coat or another coat and put on some other coat. or actually you're wearing an infinite number of coats in an infinite number of dimensions on which you are acting all at once. Why can you do that? Because as absolute, you are in an infinite number of places at the same time. And you are really there. It is something you haven't given yourself credit for, but you do. And this deja vu that we figure occasionally coming into our life, that's nothing. That's nothing. If you really had deja vu in 100%, you'd be aware of everything, doing everything, all at the same time. And that would be quite a major accomplishment. Now, don't worry, you won't be troubled with that. First, you have to be aware that you're a master. And once you're aware that you're a master, then you won't see any problems. You won't see the relative world. You see right through it. And this is a difficulty for a master consciousness, because the master consciousness looks right through the appearances and the illusions that people have, and he sort of laughs to himself and he said, silly game they're playing. I know the facade. I know the facade, and you know what facade means. It's just a false front. I know the facade. I know in the movies, all those houses are not standing there. I know that all these old Western frontier buildings are not there. A few have interiors, but they're not where you think they are. When people walk into a building that's supposed to have an interior, they're not really walking into that building. That is done separately. They photograph people going to the door, walking through the door, and then they do a take at another location where they're inside the building. And it's inside of some standard building that's built like an old Western building. And if you are paying attention at all, and if you see many movies, you will notice that the same streets, the same houses, the same everything is in many, many, many movies. Because, you know, it's expensive to make up a little community. But Leave It to Beaver, his community was just like it was for Barnaby Jones, just like it was for the names of all these kids slipped me right at the moment, but they were the kid shows, you know, the not the Brady Bunch. They come in under a different group.
The Waltons?
No, the Waltons was a whole different story. They were in a totally different area, and it was like Tennessee, you know, where they were, and it's not like Hollywood, you know, and these people were in Hollywood doing their thing, and it was a good show. Father Knows Best and all that kind of stuff, you know. But they all had not necessarily a facade. That was a studio set of buildings. And many times there would be a bedroom scene, and it was supposed to be upstairs, but it was downstairs, because it was easier to do the photography downstairs. And one side of the building was able to slide open so that they could be right inside, you know. But they had to take care of the lighting so it didn't like all the lighting was coming in where that wall was supposed to be. But this is a facade. This is imagination. This is creativity. And you believe it. You believe it. You look at that film and you think, isn't that wonderful? Oh, what a charming house. What a charming place. And it really is a combination of a number of houses. But you look and you think, gee, that's great. That's really great. And it is. It is, because it's imagination. It's imagination being used at a very high level, and that's wonderful. So, if you can create with imagination that type of an experience and make it believable to a large number of people, a large number of the kids are just instantly accepted because they feel no doubt at all. And the adults, they accept it because they think, well, they could do that in different houses in a community, but they don't. And we are conned. We are made to believe things that are not so. But we are so conable. We are so easily duped because we are duped with our bodies. We are duped with our experiences here. We think this is a real table here. And when we had our seminar here, for the 3-month program, we had a big long sheet of glass here. And then as the people came and went, the glass got shorter and longer. Now, how did you do that? It's a rather amazing little feat. Well, we had sheets of glass of different lengths. And so we just put them out here. And it was rather compelling to people as they would see this and say, wow, how do you do that? Fill it up and then make it shorter and do all the things. Well, this is great. Now, we're having 9 people for our Christmas program, as far as we know, and they'll fit around this table very nicely. And so here we have this big round table, 6 feet across, I think it's 6 feet, and it'll seat the 9, 10 people quite easily. So, you see, it's an illusion. It's an illusion. And the first thing we have to do is to get rid of these chairs. When we have 9 people here, we should have 9 folding chairs or 9 standard type chairs so that no one feels that somebody has a rolling chair and they don't, you know. This is not quite kosher. So these are all perfectly lovely things. And of course, 10 rolling chairs wouldn't fit around this table. So think about these things. They're illusions. They're illusions. And we think, oh, that's a perfect setting. Oh, that's a perfect idea. Oh, those are perfect thoughts you have. Oh, that's a perfectly wonderful body that girl or that boy has. They're just handsome as all get out, and their body is pure and clean. You look at it, there's not a blemish on their body. They have a beautiful tan, and they have this and they have that, you know. And you look at them and you say, they're perfect. Well, how do we know what's going on inside the body? Well, it's perfect. But if they doubt their perfect body at any time because they have a tummy ache, because they ate something they shouldn't, or because they got sunburn or whatever, and then, ow, oh, ee, ooh, instead of just saying, I'm home perfect, and whoosh. Now, remember the story we had of the kids who were up here, and they're redheads, and they couldn't, and very light blonde, they couldn't take the sun, their mother said. And we told them, hey, you'll take it just fine. The sun up here is different than it is down the city. It's much more clear and beautiful. It actually burns more, but it's much more wonderful. But we told them that they can't be touched by it. And they played outside, naked in the sun, in the pond, in the pools, and all the things, just having a ball. And they wouldn't come in from sunup to sunset, just having a great old time. And they were brown as bears. And their mother looked at them and said, my goodness sakes, how did you do that, you know? They have never in their life been brown bears. And of course, first we fed them the information that we wanted them to have, that they would be untouched by the sun on the mountain, because the sun on the mountain does not burn. We make our own stories. We make our own fiction. We make our own reality. We make our own truth. We make our own falsity. We know about that. And the truth and falsity of things that are said and done really has no relativity to truth, because there is no truth. There is no truth. If you believe something and you say it, then for you that's the truth. And you're not going to change it. You're not going to say, well, that's not the truth, because that's what you have believed. So perfection is quite a special little picture for all of us. It's quite a special little ideal for all of our thinking. And we love the word perfection because it is something to aspire to. But in absolute, there is no aspiring to perfection. There is no perfection to aspire to, because all is in its absolute form, perfect form, in its absolute form. All is as it was originally designed to be, its original purity and integrity. And every person who looks at it with a master awareness sees through the outer illusion. Now, for instance, if you get a diamond out of a diamond mine, it looks terrible. Who would ever think it was a diamond? In the story, Acres of Diamonds, the fellow picked up these pretty stones from his riverbed behind his home, and he put them up on his mantle. And then he kept searching for wealth and money. And then someone said, well, if he would sell his house and go, he would find diamonds. Well, he did. And one day, the story came to him that in his own backyard, were acres of diamonds, and he didn't even know it, because he never thought to look in his own backyard. You see, each of us is ideal. We are our original purity and integrity, but we don't stop to look in our own backyard. We're always looking at somebody else, making comparisons, always looking at life and saying it could be a little better. And because of that, we're looking for perfection outside of ourselves and not finding our original purity and integrity right inside of ourselves, and let it shine forth. Because as it shines forth, it's in competition with no one. It is the allness, and it is wonderful. Think about that. Perfection is unknown in absolute, because in absolute, its ideal integrity is known, and that's all that matters. Have a lovely evening. Think beautiful thoughts, and know that I am with you at all times as you are becoming aware and revealing to yourself that you are absolute. I love you. I love you. I love you.